Lord and Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sins, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
Fathers. Happy Easter. So what would have ever happened if my sister did skin that rabbit, no? Rabbit skin sandals, huh? Well, our catechesis will be something unique. They say unique New York, say that 10 times fast. And it will be the importance of the popular devotion of the practice of the novena. Novena in Espanol, novena. And that means 9 times in a row. If you read through the diary of St. Faustina, she makes several novenas. And some of the most important novenas is in honor of Mary. And that would be 9 days before a Marian solemnity. So before the Immaculate Conception. Or before the Assumption, which by the way is coming up. So in 15 days we'll be celebrating the Assumption, so in about 5 days you can make your novena to celebrate the Assumption of Mary. And it can be done in many different ways. Do any of you know what St. Faustina would do 9 days before the Immaculate Conception? She prayed. Are you listening?
Yes.
1,000 Hail Marys every day for 9 days. Yes? Why are you looking at me like that? You look like you're in shock, huh? I could calculate if you pray the four Mysteries of the Rosary, five times, you got it done. And if you prayed it with someone else, it's doable. I mean, it's work. It's hard, but it could be done. You gonna do it? Well, not to say that you have to, but she would do that. You're gonna say, "Pero padre era monja." She was a nun. Okay. So, whether or not you're gonna pray the 1,000 in a row, do something. 9 days in a row. Could be a Mass, could be 4 rosaries, could be 2 Masses a day, could be instead of 1 holy hour, hey, 2 holy hours, yeah. Can we give up something? Maybe something you like at the table. Okay, Father, for 9 days, I'll give up tequila and whiskey. By the way, Father, what is tequila and whiskey anyway? You want to give up something that you like, right? So 9 days in a row. One of the most famous novenas today would be the Novena of Divine Mercy, starting on Good Friday, culminating on Divine Mercy Sunday. I mentioned that spiritual director that I had. He would sometimes, he had great devotion to the Holy Spirit. So when he found himself in a dilemma that just seemed to be there's no way out, he would make a novena to the Holy Spirit, and he said by the time he finished, the problem was resolved by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes when we try to resolve problems by ourselves, it only gets worse. When we place it in the hands of God, He can resolve problems in a split second. Okay, with my creative pastoral style, I have created a couple more novenas that I do frequently. First is when I'm celebrating a wedding. I will tell the wedding couple that I would like to give them a gift. They're looking at me now. They say, no, it's not money or some material possession because I've involved poverty. I don't have any money to give. But I will offer you a novena. So every day for 9 days, when they celebrate the Mass, I'll be placing you on the altar so that when I lift up the chalice and the host, I'll be lifting you up to heaven, you and your spouse up to heaven, that God will give you peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. Like that? You can see that they're teary-eyed because it's a shock that anyone could offer that type of gift. Then they tell all those in the church, you try to do it too. They're not expecting for me to kick the ball in their court, huh? You do it too. Because you give material gifts, much more important to give spiritual gifts. Let me tell you a trick that I use. If you're studying philosophy, one of the basic principles you learn in learning philosophy is called a virtual intention. A virtual intention is this, is that I place them on the altar in that moment in the Mass. But then 9 days in a row, I forget who even their names, no? But God did not. God didn't forget. As long as I place the virtual intention in, every time I'm saying the Mass, I barely ever remember them because I got so much in my head, but God does not forget. And I also do it at the other extreme, when I'm doing it at funeral masses. I'll say, let's offer a novena for Juanito. So I'm enlarging your spiritual horizon and how you can pray. So I think when I said novena, all of you had a very, very limited understanding of novena. Probably think, okay, beginning of June, I make a novena to St. Anthony. It goes way beyond St. Anthony. And novena also can be made any time, any place, any way. Could be, okay, starting today, I'm going to say a Hail Mary, extra Hail Mary every night to St. Fulgentius of Ruspe for 9 days in a row for the conversion of my daughter. So really there's no limits, and you think you're creative, God is much more creative than you are. You know, you do something, you're not going to be surprising God. God says, wow. God is never surprised, and God never says, whoops. Okay. Do you know what whoops means? Nothing ever slips out of his hands, no? God is keenly aware of what's going on. Even before the word is in our tongue, God knows what it is through and through, as we say in the psalm. Okay. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Today, this afternoon, we are going to not only celebrate Easter, but we're going to be celebrating the church's birthday. Wow. In the song of the Beatles, it's getting better all the time, right? And that is Pentecost. You're going to be meditating upon Pentecost. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
It's a beautiful feast day. It's the third glorious mystery. And you've prayed in your rosary, but I don't think anyone has ever spent an hour on this beautiful, essential mystery of the Catholic Church, which is considered the birthday of the Catholic Church. Church was born from the open side of Christ on Calvary. The first part of the birth, but the full birth, is on Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. So let's try to organize our thoughts and try to enter into this scene. I would invite you, all of you, as soon as possible, see if you can get the movie of Father Patrick Peyton on the 15 Mysteries of the Rosary. Family theaters, Father Patrick Peyton was an Irish-American priest that said the family that prays together stays together. He went to Hollywood, and about 55 years ago, he actually made the Joyful, Sorrowful, and Glorious, not the Luminous. So,
what's the name of the movie?
The Mysteries of the Rosary by Family Theater, Hollywood, by Father Patrick Peyton, servant of God. I think he's buried in San Pedro, not too far away. Yeah, along the port, yeah. EWTN has shown this over the past many years. They'll usually show one of the mysteries takes about 23 minutes. But it's really well done. Of all the movies done on the life of Christ, it's probably the best ever done with respect to faithfulness. And you never see the face of Christ. It's always hidden. So you have to imagine the way Christ looked. Okay, the transition between the ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit, the apostles, there's 10 days there. Ascension, and then they enter into the 9-day novena, and then Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles. But Peyton adds a little bit to your meditation you did on the ascension. He adds a couple of details. They're not biblical, but you can imagine it could have been this way. And it's this. Jesus says, go out to the whole world and teach them all I've taught you. This is called the universal missionary mandate. Basically, Jesus is saying, go out, now you, my apostles and friends, now you go out now and you convert the whole world. One of them pipes up and says, Lord, how are we going to convert the whole world? We don't know anything. I like that. I like his humility, his honesty. How are we going to convert the whole world? We don't know anything, and our Lord doesn't deny it. He doesn't deny that. He says, yeah, don't go yet. You're not ready. Not yet. First, go to the upper room. That's called the cenacle, where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, right? Where he instituted confession, right? Easter Sunday night. The upper room, the cenacle, very important place. Go to the upper room. So after our Lord ascends into heaven, the apostles go to the upper room with Mary and the apostles. Now let's highlight what's going on there. And then let's see the result of this first novena. First is this, silence. And I'd like to make a practical application. This retreat is not over yet. Okay, temptation, often from the devil, you hit this point, well, it's over. It's not over. Often God gives the most choice graces in the last 5 minutes of the retreat. So don't squander graces that God wants to give to you. Don't pack your bag yet, okay? Jack, don't pack that bag yet, okay? So focus on your meditations. Sometimes an athlete can win the race the last split second. You know, sometimes in baseball it's the bottom of the ninth and they're losing 3-0. They're losing the whole time 3-0. Bases loaded, grand slam, they win by one swat of the bat. Just one swat of the bat. They're losing 99.9% of the time, but one swat of the bat, end of the game, they won. See yourself in that in the stage as professional athletes. Play the ball, play the game until the end. You hear me? And also with respect to silence, it's been a pretty good silent retreat, but hey, try to maintain that silence. Because God speaks in silence. So in the upper room there was silence for those 9 days. Silence so that they could communicate with God. Because God speaks in silence. Next is that they practice penance. And whether we like it or not, part of the spiritual life is the ascetical life of penance, where our Lord says, anyone who wants to follow me must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. So our life of the follower of Christ should be a life in which we are accustomed to making sacrifices. It might be that a lot of us are not accustomed or are asked by the Lord to make very, very extreme fasts. It might be. Even Fulton Sheen said that he never preached, he didn't preach fasting, he said, because he couldn't do it. No, and Fulton Sheen, I think, was a very holy man. He said when he tried to do it, he got these migraine headaches. Some of us here might be able to do it, but that should always be done under the direction of a spiritual director. It's done under the direction of a spiritual director. It has much more merit because when you do something under obedience, it has much more merit. Much more merit. So you may not be able to go, 40 days without eating or 9 days without eating. Maybe not. But we can all deny ourselves, at least in small areas. Right? None of us are going to kill ourselves if we deny ourselves in small areas. Rather, what's happening is we're fortifying our will. Let me make this comment because we've got some parents with teenagers and some have grandchildren that are teenagers. No? I honestly believe that a lot of times the young people today, once they hit puberty and they've got their sexual passions are really strong, they are just overwhelmed and dominated by their sexual passions because their parents never taught them how to deny themselves when they were children. You hear me? Because if they never learned to say no to themselves, when the imperious passions of the teen years come, how on earth are they going to be able to say no to a powerful sexual passion? Almost impossible. Read Dominic Savio. I mean, he lived a life of great purity. He died when he was 14. But he really struggled for that virtue because he was fasting and praying and practicing penance. And his love for the Blessed Mother was extraordinary. He was only 14 and 11 months when he died. Now, obviously, you've never heard this priest before, but now you're listening. And I think all of you know this resonates as true, right? And Fulton Sheen was saying that a day ago. If we do not, we can be living on three different levels. The level of the senses, the level of the intellect, the spiritual level. If we do not conquer our passions will conquer us. And our passions conquer us and we become slaves to our passions. We become slaves to our passions and there's no freedom, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no liberty. We're being dragged around by this chain. And there's this new preacher, I don't know who, this Irish guy, he's got some pretty good ideas. He's saying, whether you like it or not, we have to carry a cross. We all have to suffer. If you suffer for God, it's sanctified and there's joy. If you're just suffering for the sake of suffering, that's called masochism. There's really, really no merit in that at all. So we want to suffer for Christ and for Mary and for the salvation of souls. Amen? Okay, so they were there praying in silence and fasting, and it was not an 8-day retreat, it was a 9-day retreat. Maybe next year we'll have to ask for 9, Mary, huh? It was a 9-day, first charismatic meeting, huh? What was the results of this powerful prayer experience? Natural phenomena that have a spiritual significance. Okay, they were shaking like an earthquake. Remember the one we had a couple weeks ago? I was giving a class in the spiritual exercises. And I wasn't even aware of it, and I was so engaged in my preaching, no? The other one was during perseverance, no? It's all related to the exercises, huh? So three natural phenomena. Let's give you the spiritual interpretation. Earthquake, wind and fire. Earthquake, wind and fire. Can I give you the interpretation now? Earthquake is this. Whether we like it or not, little by little we start to lose our fervor. Right now we're charging our spiritual batteries, right? You're ready to go and conquer the world. You're on fire. Those spiritual batteries are charged, no? 100%. But then what happens is the fervor starts to wane. Right? Starts to wane. And when it starts to wane, sometimes God sends earthquakes. Kind of wake us up. Thanks be to God for the spiritual earthquakes that He sends to us, right? Otherwise we'd be descending into a state of mediocrity. Yep. You're neither hot nor cold, lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Strong words, huh? That's my interpretation of the earthquake. God sends us earthquakes. Spiritual earthquakes, to wake us up. Interesting comment, after 9/11, for a week after 9/11, not one abortion in New York City for a week. Remember that? That was incredible. The center, the capital of abortion in the world after 9/11, no abortions for a week. Then back to normalcy. Back to being normal. See, God sent, Fulton Sheen says that broken things are precious. Broken bread is precious. St. Paul was broke, was saved in a broken boat and ended up on Malta. And sometimes God has to break into hearts. Sometimes you've got to break into hearts through suffering. Whereas St. Augustine says, Lord, burn now, break now, but save for all eternity. How about the wind? The wind is a symbol in which the Holy Spirit wants to blow away the sins of our lives through a frequent confession. Amen? Blow away sins of our life through the practice of frequent confession. And how about fire? Fire is symbolic of love. It's symbolic of love. Of all the virtues, the greatest virtue is to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the net result? A radical transformation. It's only after the coming of the Holy Spirit that the apostles really understood who Jesus was. And not before. So he said, I'm sending you another one. Look in the Gospels, they're bumbling and fumbling, they're tripping over their own feet, no? They're in fervor, then they become cowards, no? They're walking in the water, they're sinking, no? They're saying that Jesus is the Son of God, then Jesus is calling the same guy Satan in the same passage. Peter, no? After the coming of the Holy Spirit, there's a radical transformation. They're no longer the same men. Why? Because they receive the gift of gifts. The gift of gifts is the Holy Spirit of God. And that's exactly what you're going to be receiving in your meditation. So through the heart of Mary, beg that all of you will have your own Pentecost experience this very afternoon. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us.